Hello, everyone. This is the Monday, November 11th edition of Crunch Time with JB and Double T live from the Eagle Country 99.3 studio, 20 East High Street in downtown Lawrenceburg. And you will notice JB not with us tonight, but that's all right. We're going to have a cameo from Happy Jack, who you hear in the midday every Monday through Friday here at Eagle Country 99.3. And before we get into the sports talk, we do want to say Happy Veterans Day to all the vets out there in Eagle Country. Words really can't express how much we thank you for your service, your bravery, all those things that go into protecting our freedoms and safety each and every day. So if you are a past veteran, if you are currently serving in the military, we thank you so, so much for your service, because not everybody is built to do what you do. So with that, we will get into some sports talk. This is Crunch Time. And speaking of getting crunched, the Cincinnati Bengals got crunched on Sunday. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a devastating loss for the Indianapolis Colts. A little bit of college football talk. We got some college basketball roundup, but we want to start with high school sports. And it was a big weekend in high school sports, specifically on the gridiron, three sectional championship games in Southeast Indiana and a big playoff game for the Harrison Wildcats. But we're going to start with some of our teams in Southeast Indiana, and two teams are going to be going home for the season. Unfortunately, in Class 4A, East Central had their season ended at the hands of Mooresville, a really closely contested game, 17-14. Mooresville comes out on top in that game. Mooresville led at the half, 14-7. East Central was able to come back, tie the game in the fourth quarter, but it was a late field goal that won it for Mooresville. So East Central going to finish the season with an 11-1 record, and they are the champs of the EIAC 4A division. They were ranked up in the top three of Class 4A all season long. It appeared to us here locally that they had all the talent to get to Indianapolis, but this is a very tough side of the bracket to navigate here in the southern portion of the state. Mooresville has been highly ranked all year long. We saw them come down to Aurora and beat South Dearborn by a handful of touchdowns in the first round of the sectional. So that was our first glimpse of them seeing that they were a very, very good football team. And they got the better of East Central this past Friday night. And even if East Central would have gotten by Mooresville, you're still looking at playing Evansville Memorial or Central. Both those teams are perennially good. It's just really tough to navigate that southern portion of the bracket. So East Central has nothing to hold their heads down about. They got beat by a better team on Friday. That's as simply put as it's going to be. And the Trojans are going to say goodbye to a great senior class. Devin Donaworth, Trevor Becker, Cody Bentley, Gage Ertl, Troy Teepee, Kyle Crumman, just to name a few. But if you think this team isn't going to bounce back strongly next season, you are fooling yourself. Out in St. Leon, that's all they do. They don't rebuild, they reload. And this team is going to have a group of veterans that are going to be great leaders for this team next year. They're going to have a senior quarterback in Ryan Bond, senior running back in Jake Fike, who just had a tremendous season, senior offensive tackle Luke Collinsworth, who's already got a handful of D1 offers, picked up an offer from the University of Kansas, or excuse me, Kansas University, just last week. Les Miles, the former LSU coach, now heading up that program, obviously sees something that he likes in Luke Collinsworth. A big kid. I mean, he stands about 6'6", 6'7". Great footwork, which you'll see on the basketball floor this wintertime. So he's going to be a standout yet again for them next year. And then defensively, a couple good linebackers that are going to lead the squad next year, Cole Veal, Hunter Sons. So this team has a good group to build around, and they will certainly reload next year and be that formidable East Central team that we are always accustomed to here in Southeast Indiana. Milan, another team whose season came to an end in a closely contested game, taking on North Decatur. This game was out at Milan, and North Decatur had beaten the Indians 21-0 earlier in the season. They have the best scoring defense in the entire state of Indiana, no matter the class, at just 6.08 points per game. And this time around, Milan was able to hang 20 points on the board, but one too short as North Decatur got the win 21-20. Milan finishes the season with a 9-3 record, and similar to East Central, they're going to lose some great ball players. When you have records like that, you are going to lose good players. Some of those good players are quarterback Parker Lewis, a trio of linebackers, Dakota Sam, Zach Hauser, Andrew Harrison. They were fantastic this year. Defensive end Logan Nudds, cornerback Trayton Robbins, just to name a few. But much like East Central, this Milan team is going to return a good core of guys to build around and be leaders on this team. Peyton Wirt, we've seen him be a standout at wide receiver. He moved over to quarterback in the sectional. A talented kid that you're going to see play point guard for this Milan basketball team in the wintertime. And, well, his running mates in basketball, wide receiver Adam Norman and Carson Asherman, they'll both be back as pass catchers next year. Chandler Rutherford anchors the offense and defensive line there. They have Cole Steele coming back at running back. And Bryson Bergen's a guy that I like a lot at defensive end and tight end, a big-bodied sophomore. Looks like he's been in the weight room. He's a kid that could really be a standout next year and really have a breakout campaign. So we expect Coach Ryan Langferman and Milan to have a great season again next year. And for me personally, I'm really excited to see some of those Milan football players take the basketball court here as that season's going to get started in just a couple of weeks. We also want to say congratulations to the Lawrenceburg Tigers. We didn't want to make you wait too long to talk about their success. Started out with the bad news with Milan East Central unfortunately losing, but Lawrenceburg, a sectional champion after taking down Greensburg 35-14. It was our feature game this past Friday. Tigers jumped all over the Pirates early. They got out to a 21-0 lead and didn't look back as they captured their 19th sectional title in school history and upped their winning streak to 11 games. We don't want to get too much into the Greensburg game. It's gone and over with, and the Tigers have a bigger fish to fry as number 2 Heritage Hills is going to bring an undefeated record into Lawrenceburg this Saturday. Yes, a Saturday slate because of travel. It will be a 6 o'clock kickoff. 5:40 pregame is when we'll start our live coverage here at Eagle Country 99.3. And boy, is this going to be a good game. If you just look at the rankings, I already mentioned Heritage Hills, number 2 in Class 3A. Lawrenceburg, 11-game win streak. They've been ranked around 8 or 9 all season long. I think that's where they finished at the end of the regular season. And both teams average about 40 points per game. And both teams have great defenses as well. Heritage Hills actually has the second best scoring defense in the state at just 6.6 points per game. And Lawrenceburg isn't too far behind in that category. They only give up about 14 points per game. So maybe Heritage Hills gets a little bit of an edge on the defensive side of the ball. But then again, looking at their schedule, and it's no knock on them. They beat Gibson Southern and Southridge to get to the sectional final. Those are two very good teams in Class 3A. They also beat Gibson Southern back in the regular season pretty bad. Beat Jasper, a 4A team. So they got some teams on their schedule that are very good, but I don't know that they have seen a passing attack or a more balanced offense than what the Lawrenceburg Tigers are going to throw at them. We've talked all season long about how special Garrett Yoon is at quarterback. He's got older brother Gavin, who's a phenomenal talent at wide receiver. Seth Lampert, Dakota Roth, Dia Patel, those guys make plays in the passing game. Adam Bird has had a tremendous season as a running back. He can hurt you on the ground and through the air. Sometimes they go 5 wide. Sometimes they're in a heavy package where they bring the likes of Dalton Dixon and Braden York on the field, Noah Rolette, and have those guys block for Bird and Garrett Yoon. So they throw a lot of different stuff at teams, and well, it works because they're averaging over 40 points per game. So this has a chance to be the game where the irresistible force meets the immovable object. I love that saying. This one could be one for the ages. The biggest game that Lawrenceburg will have hosted since they beat Brownstown Central in the semi-state just a few years ago on a goal line stand. And while it might not get that dramatic on Saturday, we don't know. We are certainly expecting a really good game between these two teams. A couple other notes on Heritage Hills. They are a big-time running team. Only 51 passes all year. Their quarterback has been efficient when he does go to the air and has thrown 8 touchdowns, but 405 rushing attempts for over 3,200 yards. They have 5 guys that have rushed for more than 200 yards and a couple of guys that are up there over 700 and 800 yards. yards. So a lot of different weapons for Heritage Hills as well. And the Tigers defense is going to have to be able to key in on several different guys to stop this offense. But should be a fun one coming up this Saturday. Lawrenceburg, Heritage Hills for the regional championship from the Pit here in Lawrenceburg. Myself and John Blackwell will be on the call. 5:40 pregame coverage with 6 o'clock kickoff. Can't wait for that one. And we also want to say congratulations to the Harrison Wildcats, who took down Canal Winchester 24-18 on Friday. Harrison, the 3 seed in Region 8, moving on. They'll take on 7 seed St. Francis DeSales on Friday at 7 p.m. And we do want to note that this past week's Harrison game, only the second time in school history that they have hosted a playoff game. But if they win this next one, they'll be going on to take on number 1 LaSalle or Walnut Ridge for a chance to go to the Final Four. So this Harrison team, much like Lawrenceburg, can beat you through the air and has a good running attack. It all starts with quarterback Connor Kennett. I've been saying Kennett, Garrett Yoon, Adam Dixon, those are the 3 best quarterbacks I've seen here locally this year. But Kennett can spread it around. Levi Tidwell, CJ Young, his top targets there for Harrison. And, you know, you don't want to forget about Cam Herring, a good running back there. And they do a really good job on defense as well. Those linebackers I like a lot, Dom Little, Jake Reardon, Logan Souders. So this is a very talented team. Harrison having one of the best seasons in recent memory, and they're going to try to keep it rolling this Friday against St. Francis DeSales. That'll be a 7 p.m. kickoff on the road for Harrison this time around. And while we're still in the midst of the high school football season, it's hard to believe that high school basketball has already started. Girls basketball well underway here in the state of Indiana, at least. That'll be our focus here for a little girls high school basketball rundown. And to start off the season, we'll start with the East Central Trojans. They always schedule up, it seems, whether it doesn't matter what sport it is. Now, they took on South Dearborn to get their season underway. 81-19, the Lady Trojans won that game. Wow, they were efficient in that game, too, shooting 50% from the field. Then they went on the road, took on a good Heritage Christian team in 3A, lost 61-53. So East Central off to a 1-1 start. They'll be at Franklin County tomorrow night. As for South Dearborn, as we mentioned, a tough start to their season, 0-3. Mentioned the blowout loss against East Central. And then they had the South Dearborn tournament this past weekend. They played New Washington and Lafayette Jeff, lost both of those games. So the Lady Knights going to look to rebound tomorrow night as they take on Switzerland County. That could be a Rivertown Classic preview. Always interesting when those two teams get together. As for Lawrenceburg, 1-0 after a 47-40 win against Batesville, so they start out the season with a conference win. Juliana Kemper, a double-double in that game, 17 points, 11 rebounds. Tristan Dennis, who is also going to star for the Lawrenceburg Tigers this year, had double figures scoring, and as did Kiera Lowe, so that might be the big three for Lawrenceburg this year, as they certainly have some high hopes there in the EIAC and even going further on than that. They'll take on Madison at home tomorrow. Their game against Rising Sun coming up on Saturday has been postponed due to the Tigers football game, allowing those ladies to get out to the regional championship and support their classmates. And how about Milan? We'll check on them as well. 1-1 to start the season. They had a 44-41 overtime win over South Decatur to start it all off, and then lost by 30 at Union County. So they'll look to rebound. Their next game will be at Hauser, which is always a tricky one for Milan. But 1-1 to start the season are the Lady Indians, and we know we will see them on December 7th when Milan and Lawrenceburg has a boys-girls doubleheader. We plan to be there at Milan for both of those contests, so that'll give us a chance to see Milan and Lawrenceburg's girls team pretty early in the season. And we will try to have our full high school basketball broadcast schedule out before too long, because the boys' season is going to start here in just a couple weeks, and we are certainly excited to call some high school basketball. All right. With that, it is now time to bring in Happy Jack Clevenger to Crunch Time. So tonight it's going to be an honorary edition of Crunch Time with Double T and HJ. Happy Jack on the program for the first time.
Well, hello, hello. Thank you, Travis. Good to be here. Man, I've always been trying to get on the show, but you keep having all these guests, and it's so hard to fit me in there. But I'm glad you scheduled a little time, because I don't quite know maybe nearly as much about sports as what you and JB do. But, hey, I'll try and at least, hold my own.
Well, you are a big-time follower of the NFL. We talk about fantasy football all the time here, our Eagle fantasy football. We might get to that in a second. But as you know, every week on the program, we talk about the Bengals. We talk about the Colts. Those are the two teams that people follow in this area. And it was an interesting game for the Bengals yesterday because they were breaking in a new quarterback, a rookie quarterback at that, with Ryan Finley, but they ran into a buzzsaw because the Baltimore Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL.
Oh my goodness, I tell you what, John Harbaugh has just been doing a phenomenal job with
better
that
organization.
Jim. But maybe it's a family thing, but he still kind of has that much better record that goes for him.
Sure.
But I mean, the Ravens, they're just getting hot at the right time. I mean, they're really trying to build off the momentum. I mean, they're the ones that took down the Patriots. I mean, they're the ones that are really, have something to say, hey, we are for real. Not necessarily a win over the Bengals is a for real win, but hey, when you dominate, no matter who you're playing, it is still a good, a win.
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because I was going to get to that New England game. They beat them last week and did so pretty handedly, 49-13, defeating the Bengals. Too much Lamar Jackson. That Ravens defense is very good. So some of my takeaways from this game, you got Ryan Finley, a rookie, his first real game action. You're throwing him in there kind of in the fire against one of the best defenses in the league. He ended up throwing a pick six that was taken back 89 yards by Marcus Peters. He also fumbled the ball, which resulted in a Ravens defensive touchdown. Overall, 16-30, 167 yards. He did throw a touchdown. Wasn't the greatest first game, but the Bengals are kind of doing their due diligence. They got to see what they have in terms of next year. Because if he's not any good, they probably need to draft another quarterback.
Well, I mean, I don't think this is definitely a knock on Finley at this point in time. I mean, like you said, this is still his first game out, his first true start. I mean, he's in the game. And there were some positives to be able to take away from what he was able to do. Throwing the ball was not the issue. Now, it's in the headset. It's the ins, the outs, the nose, and, reading those defenses and those type of things. Because everything happens so fast. They always say, NFL, it's just everything goes fast. And when you got to be able to process that information, I don't care who you are, how much experience, when you're in the game time, it's just different.
Yeah, and they say he's really smart and he can read the coverages, but to your point, the coverages are moving around so fast. He's got huge men running at him. His offensive line isn't any good. You can ask Andy Dalton about that. So I think he did an admirable job being in there. He didn't look real rattled at any point in the game. His focus was top notch. It's just the Bengals aren't any good, and the Ravens are really good. So, as I was saying, you kind of got to figure out what you have with Ryan Finley. He's got seven more games. Obviously, looking at yesterday, Bengals fans are probably saying, well, he's not the answer. Got seven more games to improve upon what he put down as some groundwork yesterday. And if he's not the guy going forward, that's okay, because the Bengals are going to have a top pick in the draft. So I do want to move on to that portion of looking forward to the future, because I think it's exciting. Even though the Bengals stink and they're 0-9, they are in the driver's seat for the number one overall pick. And me and you were talking earlier off air about one Joe Burrow, the starting quarterback for LSU, and how good he looked against Alabama on Saturday.
Oh my goodness, you talk about a guy who has to be a smart guy, because I'm telling you, he managed that game so well. I mean, Alabama kept doing their best to try and come back into the game, what a quality and talented team they are. But LSU, hey, they were the more talented team on the field, and it was led by Joe Burrow.
Yeah, a monster game for Joe Burrow. He seems to have the it factor. So from my opinion, the Bengals need talent at all phases of the game. For my liking, if they have the number one overall pick or they're in the top three, it's got to be quarterback Joe Burrow, who I like over Tua Tagovailoa for Alabama. I just think Joe's got that it factor. Tua's a great player in his own right, but for me, I like Joe a little bit better. And if you're not going to go quarterback, you got to go defensive end with Chase Young from Ohio State, because he might be the best player in college football. One thing I did like from that Bengals game yesterday, Joe Mixon carried the ball 30 times for 114 yards. He has to get the ball more in the future.
Well, I mean, that has to be a game plan. You got to be able to have a balanced offense. And if you're going to try and build through with the quarterback, say, hey, we're going to help him learn, the run game's the best way to do that. Get his confidence built up, those little dink and dunks, and let the ball move forward. Get your first downs by running the ball and not putting all the pressure on third and long situation, because I don't care who you are, you're only going to convert so many of those.
That's a good point. And hopefully the Bengals will get A.J. Green back as well, just to give Finley a little bit more help to see what maybe he really does have back there at quarterback. But nonetheless, the Bengals 0-9. They do hold a one-game lead over the Redskins for the number one pick in the NFL draft. Tank for Tua. They've been saying blow for Burrow. And then you also have a two-game lead over Miami and both New York teams. Speaking of Miami, they handed the Colts a devastating loss yesterday, 16-12. And I say devastating because obviously the Dolphins are not good. The Colts are in the thick of an AFC South battle. They're trying to find their way into the playoffs one way or another. But this is a team you cannot lose to if you want to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Colts were all in a position. I mean, you had the Texans trading away, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, their, you know, biggest asset on defense. You think, man, this is going to be a division they're going to be able to get on top
of. They lost J.J. Watt, too, to injury.
You know, I mean, you've got all these things going on, so you're in a great position to try and say, hey, we're going to lead this division, and then you throw up that against, you know, Miami. Yes, I understand you're dealing with a backup quarterback and all those things, but I'm sorry, there is way too much talent on that team, whether it's luck, no matter who's throwing the ball there. I'm just saying they should have dominated yesterday and just didn't get it done.
Yeah, and Frank Reich has said over the last couple of weeks since Jacoby Brissett went down that they need to limit their turnovers, and they definitely didn't do that yesterday. Brian Hoyer, who has been a good replacement quarterback in this league for many years, did not have a good game yesterday, threw three interceptions, including one. I don't know if you saw this one. In the end zone, it looked like Eric Ebron had caught the ball for a touchdown, but a Miami defender ripping the ball away from him in the end zone. They did say it was an interception, so perhaps that was the difference in the game, just having that one touchdown taken away. They did lose 16-12, so looking forward for the Colts. They are 5-4. Still in the thick of things in the AFC. They're just outside of the wild card race, and they're only a game behind the Texans for first in the AFC South, and they will get to play them in 2 weeks. So this is going to be a big stretch for the Colts coming up. Jacksonville at Houston, and then versus Tennessee. They play all three division teams the next 3 weeks.
So, I mean, this is, you know, it's all on the Colts to kind of prove what they want to try and do with that. I mean, there's been so many shakeups in all the divisions. You know, middle of the road sometimes right now is looking pretty good depending on what division you're in. You know, a 5-4 record is nothing to be, you know, sneezed at there. So, I mean, they've got some opportunity, but you definitely need to calm Brian Hoyer down, get him, you know, some comfortable. You know, again, some of the same things we talked about, Finley, who's not nearly as experienced. You got experience in Brian Hoyer. You should be able to get him on board and hopefully maybe work out a new game plan is to utilize the talent that's already on the team.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Colts fans are hoping that Jacoby Brissett will be back sooner rather than later. It was a MCL sprain he suffered a couple games ago. He shouldn't be out too long, and he might actually be pressed back into the game based on that loss to Miami. Jacksonville, Houston, and then Tennessee, they're 5-5. They knocked off Kansas City yesterday with a big blocked field goal at the end of the game. So it's going to be a tight race there in the AFC South throughout the rest of the season. It will be interesting to see how the Colts fare, and they need to get healthy for sure. And Jack, we want everybody out in Eagle Country to know that you are a big Chicago Bears fan, and we want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your Bears and tell everybody how they're doing. They got a big win yesterday. Of course, the Lions were without Matthew Stafford, but you'll take those wins any way you can get them.
Oh, for sure. Again, we just talked about, you know, bringing in all these other quarterbacks and what that does to the team, but I'm telling you what, Tennessee is no joke, and man, they really have a lot of depth on the team. But, you know, the Bears, the big story for me was getting Mitch Trubisky calmed back down and getting him back in the game. I mean, there's been so much talk. I mean, you talk about Bengals, they were talking about saying, hey, Dalton needs to come up and play for the Bears. I'm like, whoa, slow your roll there. Give Mitch some time to, you know, get in the flow of what's going on.
He's still a young guy.
He really is. I mean, they have changed the backfield. I mean, his entire backfield has changed over since he was drafted. I mean, he's got different guys running the ball, different game plan. You got different focus there. A lot of changes that are going on, and you kind of got to adapt to that. And you have to understand not every game is going to be your best game. We can look at Tom Brady, any of the top quarterbacks throughout the league, and go with some of these games. You look at their stats, whether it was a win or a loss, you kind of scratch your head and go, is that really the number one quarterback to ever play the game? I mean, come on. it's just expected. Give Mitch some time to grow, and he'll be just fine. And my Bears are going to be just fine. I mean, I'm talking Khalil Mack and a defense that should be a little bit more dominant than what they are. But I'm telling you, you can't put all the pressure on the defense. The offense has to come through.
Yeah, the Bears defense doesn't seem to be as dominant as they were last year. But to your point, it's a lot because the offense hasn't been moving the ball well. So I will put you on the spot. Are the Bears going to be good enough to make the playoffs this season? Because they got some work to do.
They do have some work to do, but I think, again, because some of the other shakeups in the division, I think you're starting to see some of the chinks in the armor of those Green Bay Packers that are going there. Vikings are looking good, but I don't think they're going to be able to sustain the level of wins, or however best way to put that is there, but they just don't quite have it in my mind when I look at them. I know you're going to hate this, but giving them the eye test, they just don't seem to have it all together. Now, granted, I mean, if you watched the game last night, they couldn't stop running the ball, but that may be a the other defense they're playing.
Yeah, well, hopefully they continue to run the ball well. The Minnesota Vikings is who I'm speaking about because I have Dalvin Cook on my fantasy team, and you should probably put him in your fantasy lineup with Eagle Fantasy Football each week because he's good for about 20 points every single week. And if anybody got mad that Jack was a Bears fan, I know, you know, sports fans are very touchy-feely about who people are rooting for and everything. We're going to get Jack back on a positive side and let him talk a little IU basketball before he moves on from the program and I finish up. But IU off to a 2-0 start, wins over Western Illinois, Portland State. Not the toughest schedule so far for the Hoosiers, but what have you been of your early impressions of this team?
Well, I mean, it's living up to expectations. Too many of my IU basketball teams that have, you know, said, hey, all these are those cake games, you should always win those, they have struggled mightily over years. I mean, trust me, I will not let the loss to Fort Wayne let it go. I just can't. I mean, a game they should have dominated, and they got dominated. But let's talk about getting dunk highlights as an IU fan from Justin Smith. I mean, come on now. I mean, this team is very fun to watch. They're energetic. They move the ball. They're quick. If they can learn to truly play as a team, I mean, they're 2-0, but I mean, it's just two games. So, you know, if they can keep the right mindset of, hey, we're going to have some losses, we're going to have some struggles, but come together as a team, keep the focus so that way everyone gets involved and you don't play the superstar player, which is kind of becoming the new NCAA right now. Just give me one great player and we'll be fine. No. It's still a balanced team. It's college basketball. You have to do that if you want to go far.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I don't mind that they have a soft schedule early. It gives their new players, their freshmen, time to gel before they get into some bigger matchups. Some people might have a different opinion from there, you know, test them early and see what happens, but they're going to get tested eventually. I'm going to tell you right now, Princeton could be a tricky game on November 20th. They're always a pesky team, especially when they make it into the NCAA tournament, and then I guess their first real true test will be in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They play Florida State on December 3rd, and then they do have a stretch of game where they're going to play Wisconsin, UConn, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Arkansas, highly ranked Maryland, all together. So that's going to be a really tough stretch of game, including a couple of conference games. So if you're a Hoosier fan out there and you're saying, well, they're 2-0, they haven't played anybody, we still don't know if they're good, that might be true, but you're going to find out how good they are because there's going to be some measuring stick games coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at last year, I mean, we came out and took care of Kansas and everybody was like, oh, they're the next coming. Oh, they've got it all together. Again, a win against a good team is no different than a win against a team that's, you know, up and coming. Is that it still takes discipline, good fundamental basketball skills, and that's what IU's all about. And that's why I feel good about the season, because that's what they preach. And as long as they can, you know, keep that, not get into panic mode and just start, all right, Justin, it's up to you, just take the ball, you know, get everybody involved. I think that's the key, and then you'll see a lot more wins on that IU side.
All right, well, Happy Jack, thanks for stepping in as a co-host on Crunch Time this week, and hopefully IU and your Chicago Bears can get you some more wins and keep that happy in front of your name.
Exactly. If we can do that, then I will definitely be Happy Jack for sure. If not, I'll be almost Happy Jack, because, hey, every week it's always a new season for me in Eagle Fantasy Football. I'm going to try and, you know, keep that going as long as I can.
Yeah, that's a story for another day. Maybe we'll have you back on the program. We'll talk some specifics in fantasy football, but everybody should sign up right now for Eagle Fantasy Football at EagleCountryOnline.com. A couple other things I wanted to get to on the show tonight. One being college football. It's always fun to talk some college football. And now that the college football playoff rankings are out, it's even more interesting to talk about. The polls came out this past week. Ohio State was number one. LSU was number two. Alabama was number three, and Penn State was number four. And wouldn't you know it, two of the top four teams lost. Of course, LSU played Alabama, and they actually kind of handled Alabama. I know it ended up being closer than maybe what the score indicated, but LSU, firing on all cylinders, went to Tuscaloosa and won that game. And then Penn State, they lost on the road to an undefeated Minnesota team. So my takeaways from what happened in college football this past week, of course, Ohio State was a big winner over Maryland. They're not really much competition. Basically, what's going to happen in my eyes is LSU is going to jump to number one in the college football playoff rankings because they have a great body of work. They beat Alabama on the road. Joe Burrow should be the number one quarterback taken in the NFL draft, by the way. And Alabama is going to remain in the top four because they lost narrowly to LSU, and Penn State losing is going to help them stay in the top four, which I don't necessarily like, but can understand why that is happening. And it's not like Alabama's a bad team, anything like that. They're obviously very deserving of a high ranking. They got beat by the number two team in the nation, so they're not going to fall too far. But considering Penn State lost, they're going to drop out of the top four. Clemson's probably going to slide in since they're undefeated and we're right outside of the top four. But my thing is, I don't want to see two teams from one conference get into the college football playoff. I know that the committee's trying to get the four best teams possible to play in that playoff to ensure that the games are as good as they can possibly be. But I do think it has to be merit-based as well. I don't like it when non-conference champions go to the Final Four. Even my Buckeyes did that a few years ago. And while I was happy my team was in it, I still didn't think it was necessarily right that they got to go having not won their conference. And it would be a similar thing for Alabama. I mean, all these teams are kind of going to play each other at one point, and whoever's left standing, that should be the team to go. There's other good teams throughout the rest of the NCAA that maybe have one loss. Some teams that don't have a loss. Is Minnesota going to get some respect now that they beat Penn State? They still get to play Iowa, and they still get to play Wisconsin, perhaps Ohio State, so some big games for them to prove themselves. It's going to be interesting how it all shakes out, but I have a feeling that LSU and Alabama are both going to find their way into the college football playoff, and I don't like that, but that's just my opinion. And finally, we want to get to some college basketball roundup, as we're calling it this week. Already talked to Happy Jack about IU, 2-0 on the season, not really going to get tested until perhaps December 3rd when they take on Florida State, although I think Princeton's going to give them a tricky game on November 20th. Just kind of going in any particular order here, Northern Kentucky University, 1-1 on the season. They beat Cincinnati Claremont by 50 to start the season, and then scheduling up SEC team taking on Missouri. They did lose to them by double digits. UC 0-1, 64-56 loss to Ohio State last Wednesday. That was a real sloppy game, especially early. Both teams pretty good defensively. Not a lot of scoring in that game until late in the second half. UC is going to be a pretty good team this year. They did lose some guys transferring as Mick Cronin went on to coach UCLA. They bring in John Brennan from NKU, so he's kind of piecing together his team. They do have Jaron Cumberland back leading the charge. He did not play great against Ohio State, but he will have his moments this year. As this is getting recorded, Drake, that's who they take on Monday, today. So UC likely going to be 1-1 going into Tuesday. They'll play UNLV on the 30th, and then they got the Crosstown Shootout on December 7th at Xavier. UK 2-0, number one team in the nation after beating number one Michigan State last week to start it out at Madison Square Garden. Also defeated Eastern Kentucky. They take on Evansville on Tuesday, and they're really not going to get tested again, perhaps until a string of games between December 18th and the 28th against Utah, and then two ranked teams, Ohio State and Louisville. And Purdue 1-1 on the season, win over Green Bay. They did lose to Texas on Saturday. They're going to host the defending national champion Virginia Cavaliers on December 4th. So that's kind of where some of our regional college basketball teams are very early on in the season. So, and as it's called, it is crunch time, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. We got a lot of information crammed into that episode: high school football, NFL, college football playoff, college basketball, high school basketball. We filled in a lot for you in that 30 minutes. And my thanks to Happy Jack Clevenger for serving as my co-host, coming on, talking a little NFL, talking a little IU basketball, some of his big interest, filling in for JB this week. And don't you forget to catch myself and JB on the high school football broadcast this Saturday, Lawrenceburg and Heritage Hills, for a regional championship live from the pit on Eagle Country 99.3. 5:40 pregame coverage, 6 o'clock kickoff. Tigers going for a regional championship. It's going to be a fun one. Check it out. And tell all your friends about Crunch Time. You can catch it 6:30 to 7 o'clock each and every Monday on Eagle Country 99.3. Prior episodes can be found at EagleCountryOnline.com. So long, and thanks for listening.